Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, a historic, chaotic, right-wing revolt, all expressions used to describe US politics as overnight news broke that the Speaker of the US House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy, had been ousted as leader of the Republican majority house in a no-confidence vote. The Republican Speaker saw just eight of his party colleagues cross the aisle to vote with Democrats. That saw a final tally of 216 to 210 votes seal his fate. Here is the moment Congressman Steve Womack, who presided over the session, announced the results of that vote.
The yeas are 216. The nays are 210. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
Well, with more on this, I'm joined now by Larry Donnelly, who's law lecturer at the University of Galway and columnist with the journal.ie. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Claire.
So those fairly amazing scenes overnight at the House of Representatives. How pivotal is the role of the Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, and how important is it now that that seat is vacant?
It's a vitally important role. I mean, just from the numbers, the Speaker of the House is number three in charge in the United States after the President and the Vice President. The Speaker really is charged with the legislative agenda of the lower house of Congress. So it's a hugely important role. And now we have a caretaker speaker who's been installed, Patrick McHenry, but he is virtually powerless. His job, effectively, is to find a new speaker. And with, and we know that Kevin McCarthy, and the reason he lost his job was he cut a deal and kept the government going until the 17th of November. But that will roll around very quickly. And unless we have a speaker in situ, it's hard to see how the government won't shut down. And it could be a long-term shutdown.
How did he become so vulnerable? Because, you know, we've had speakers who've been unpopular in the past, but they've managed to hold their ground. Look at how many days Nancy Pelosi did. I think she nearly got to 3,000. Kevin McCarthy, 270.
Well, McCarthy was in a very difficult position right from the beginning. And one of the reasons we need to harken back to, and this, I suppose, relates to how he lost, which many of us didn't think he would be upended yesterday, is that the majority that the Republicans won in the midterms last time was considerably smaller than virtually everyone had thought beforehand. And as a result, that left McCarthy vulnerable to the whims of a very hard right-wing band of Republican members of the House, you know, somewhere between 20 and 30 of them, who made all sorts of demands about him. And in order, you know, there were 15 rounds of voting before he got over the line. And that was largely because of all the concessions. In the process, he had to make a huge number of concessions to those people, including the fact that just one person could offer a motion to vacate the chair. And in this instance, Matt Gaetz of Florida did that. And that's how he was ousted eventually.
So when the vote was happening, and it was pretty awkward because they all had to be very overt and say how they were voting in front of him, Kevin McCarthy looked pretty relaxed at that point, like he'd accepted his fate.
Yeah, I suspect. I mean, there's probably elements of a false front. I mean, I looked at some of the footage, and, you know, at one moment he was kind of nervously fidgeting, then he was kind of joking around. I suppose that, you know, Kevin McCarthy doesn't have a great reputation on Capitol Hill these days. It's one of the reasons why the Democrats turned against him, why they voted kind of oddly with Matt Gaetz, is because he had lost the trust of just about everybody there. But at one level, it's hard not to have a degree of sympathy for him because he was in an impossible position. Whatever he did, he was going to get hacked one way or another. And indeed, being captive to that hard right element in his party, he knew what devastating consequences that could have for Republicans. But the problem is, he was trying to deal with people who simply don't care, for whom political calculus doesn't enter into the equation.
So what happens now? They have a week off before they come back to choose a new speaker. So who's in the running?
Well, there are a number of people. I think that the person who would, were he not being treated for cancer, who would be the heir apparent is Steve Scalise from Louisiana. He's palatable to Gaetz and others. He's palatable pretty much across the board. The difficulty there, as I say, is he's having medical treatment. He's been seriously ill. Now, there has been a proposal floated that perhaps there could be a caretaker speaker installed in the meantime before Scalise is well enough to take office. But others have been floated, people like like Tom Emmer, who's the House Majority Whip, who isn't very well regarded by some. Then there's another candidate who's been floated and evidently is very interested in the job, a woman named Elise Stefanik from New York State. So there'll be no shortage of people who'll be taking a look at it. But at the end of the day, the reality is the Republicans are still captive to the whims of Matt Gaetz and others. And the problem for them is Gaetz and others, they're in safe districts, they're hot on the right. They don't really care about the fate of their Republican Party. They only care about themselves.
Tell me more about him, because he's central to this story, the Florida conservative Matt Gaetz. He forced the removal vote, gambled that he could get rid of Kevin McCarthy, won his gamble. Who is he, and do we need to pay attention to him, because where might he be heading?
I do think we need to pay attention to him. Look, he is a controversial firebrand conservative. Quite notably, he was under investigation for a long time in terms of a sex trafficking ring and other, really serious charges. Now, they decided not to go ahead with the prosecution, but that hung like a cloud over his head for a long time. And apparently one of the reasons why Gaetz personally hates McCarthy is that McCarthy didn't stand by him strongly enough. Lots of suggestions out there as to what Gaetz's next move might be. Might he run for governor of Florida someday? Might he run for the United States Senate? But certainly in this instance, he was a very unlikely kingmaker. Most of us, who looked at the situation, dismissed this possibility even a few days ago. But I suppose none of us could have forecast that Gaetz would bring eight people with him, and that, Democrats en masse voted with Matt Gaetz, which is kind of an odd position to be in, and a strategy that I suppose they embarked upon because, again, McCarthy had lost trust with so many, but a strategy that I wonder could eventually come back to work against them.
How much responsibility do you think the Democrat Party bears for all of this mess? Because it would only take 9 of them to defeat the motion if they changed sides and voted with the Republicans.
Well, look, Democrats will say this is a making of the Republican Party's own making and of the far right's own making, that it's their fault from the get-go. But in the reality of the situation, McCarthy is somebody who has lost his job because he was willing to do a deal with enough Democrats to keep the government afloat. The Democrats here, whether they would acknowledge this or not, they are voting alongside the hottest line elements of the Republican Party to remove a speaker who, although they mightn't trust him, somebody who they could at least occasionally do a deal with. And it brings to mind the old saying, be careful of what you wish for. Democrats could conceivably get somebody in the speaker's chair who's a lot harder to deal with than Kevin McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. So do you expect now that this deep freeze of American politics will happen and we'll have this shutdown?
It's anybody's guess, Claire. I mean, the phrase uncharted waters has been used so many times. Now we have uncharted waters with Matt Gaetz as the captain of the ship. It's very, very difficult to ascertain what will happen. But, again, the reality of this is if the government shuts down, the American people, as they always have been, will be furious with Congress. And indeed, that might be a bipartisan fury if Democrats are perceived to have colluded in this eventuality. So as with most things in American politics right now, if I made a hard and fast prediction to you, I'd be lying.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at a piece in the New York Times here, an analysis piece by Carl Hulse, who says that there is a huge challenge of wielding a Republican majority that refuses to be governed. He says that the Republican Party is just not working. It's a mess.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot to that, Claire, and people ask, why is that, or how has that come to pass? Certainly, the Trump and the MAGA philosophy has empowered lots of people, and a lot of candidates have emerged who mightn't have otherwise. But much of this goes back to systemic design, and it's the reality of the gerrymandering of congressional districts across the United States to make them more favorable to hardline partisans on both the Democrat, but particularly on the Republican side. So when you have politicians who actually, it benefits to act in such an extreme fashion, it almost inevitably leads to a breakdown in relations between the two parties and actually, more broadly than that, to having a functional democracy.
A lot of that relates back to Donald Trump and how he managed to wangle and mangle the system. And he was in court in New York yesterday facing these multiple criminal indictments and getting ready for a 2024 presidential bid. What's he been saying about what happened to Kevin McCarthy?
unless he's been posting on True Social, which I haven't seen, I'm not sure what he has said to date. But what I will say is this: he's got a careful line to walk here, because again, he's already to some extent pivoting to general election mode. Most notably, he's been moderating his position, for instance, on abortion. So while Gates is very much an acolyte of Trump, and I know Trump has cheerleaded for him in the past, Trump has been lukewarm on McCarthy. He's been a little bit all over the place. It's a fine line he's going to have to walk if he wants to win the presidency next time around on this issue. And I suspect not just for him, but for all the Republican candidates who are seeking the GOP nomination, indeed, Republicans further down the ballot, how they're going to navigate this sort of stalemate within the House of Representatives is going to be very difficult.
Larry, thank you very much. Larry Donnelly there, law lecturer at the University of Galway and a columnist with the journal.ie. Now, you've probably heard the sound of fireworks filling the night sky once again. And coming up after the break, we'll have vet Sarah Boland with advice on how to deal with that and noise phobia in pets. That's next.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.